Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Here's part two of my conversation with body artist Friday Jones. A classically trained artist, Friday's work has appeared on living and still canvases. She's won top awards for drawing, and her work is included in some of the world's most prestigious collections. Her introduction to tattoo art began with her apprenticeship at Inksmith and Rogers Studios, which she completed while attending Jacksonville University, where she earned degrees in art, philosophy, and religion. It was Friday who gave Angelina Jolie her original Billy Bob Thornton tattoo, and her impressive client list today includes Oscar and Grammy winners, as well as heads of state. Her art has graced the covers of hit albums and Fender Jackson guitars. So I've read that most of your work is discreet and elegant and almost ethereal, as opposed to heavy and intense.
It can be. I put that in there because that's maybe my personal style. I really like to use the body, incorporate it with the shape of the body. Mm-hmm. I love to use gray washes to pull in the skin into the story of the tattoo, you know, and where it was placed. But I was raised by an anvil, hard-driving tattoo guys and sailors and mm-hmm. roofers. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was a very macho, masculine. So I learned in a traditional manner. And thank God for that, because I was like, I'm not doing any skulls. I told my boss, like, that's so cliche. And he's like, you're going to love skulls. He says, just lighten up on the skulls. You're going to just relax.
Was he right?
He was so right. He was so right. And I, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to do another Tasmanian devil. Who is this dumb jerk getting this Tasmanian devil? And Eric Inksmith said, you know, bitch, you want this guy, this roofer. He's got five kids, and he's going to spend $120 with you and
shut up and
do
start
the job.
Yeah,
and honestly, between that and my philosophy degree, I really came to love people from that. And just honestly, I had to break through the Tasmanian devil wall and appreciate the craft for what it served me and how it served the client. And I learned how a tattoo can age over time.
Yeah,
that's that traditional. You know,
yeah, what about how the body ages over time?
Those are the two things that go together. The tattoo's going to age on the body. So, you know, I mean, you can eat like Big Macs for 20 years and have your body, or, you know, my tattoo might be resting on your belly.
Yeah, so well, I mean, sometimes, you know, the breasts have a mind of their own. And if somebody's getting tattooed there,
they're going to be saggy anyway.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Nothing.
You're going to tattoo it. And no one's going to look at the sag. They're going to go, wow, look at that rocket.
You know,
ship.
Actually, that's a really good point. That's a great point. How has the business changed since you started? And I don't mean the underground part of it. I mean, the fact that I guess it has everybody's blessings now. I think that I'm the only female in the United States of America who doesn't have a tattoo. They're
no,
so ubiquitous.
They are ubiquitous. It's fantastic. It's so liberating in one sense. And there's another part that there's a tiny 10% of me going like, stop talking to me like I'm like talkable too. Because you still have that, you know, there's still that tough mm-hmm, kind of mm-hmm. like, you know, this is antisocial, mm-hmm. you know, of us. But for the most part, these millennials have taken it.
God
you know,
bless
Instagram,
them, in other words.
Has blown up the industry, and I'm in Montenegro now.
Yeah,
and,
wait a minute. Stop okay, there. Yeah. How the hell did that happen?
I did 7 years in Chelsea, in Flatiron, and I had checked these boxes, and frankly, I turned 45 in January. I got glasses and tennis elbow at the same time.
And, welcome to my world.
Right, yes. So now my life has to change again, because I can't be putting in 25 hours a week and tattooing.
With I've tennis elbow. To,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really my body's like scoliosis in three places and all this. And frankly, 25 hours a week is low.
Right.
You know, for say 10 years ago.
Because
for me.
The average tattoo takes how long?
Probably the average tattoo, you categorically be like 90 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. From the small guys to like the big jobs. But yeah, man, my tattoos will be like 4 hours at a stretch, 6 hours sometimes. And that is really, that's holding a position. Position.
Wow.
And both of my bosses both had major back surgery by the time they're in their 50s. So I want to take a lesson from that.
Benefit from their mistakes,
right?
So to speak.
Right?
So you find yourself in the former Yugoslavia.
I had a breakup and I put myself in storage. And then the next week, a client was flying me to Montenegro to do this birthday tattoo. And it was fantastic. I got off the plane and it's cerulean blue sea and a 300 euro a month studio right on the Adriatic.
Oh, I'm man. Like, you died and went to heaven.
I was like, oh, this is because I think of Costa Rica and I was thinking, you know, Puerto Rico, which I love. But this Porto is a development. So it'd be much like working in Fifth Avenue in Montenegro because you have this influx of cash, which frankly, I'm moving into fine art and I need to have a market to sell to. So this is a great place where I have the time to paint. I can sell to these folks that come through here, and I can come back and do my
This really is rotation. A win-win.
I'm very blessed, and I tell you, it's reading a lot of biographies.
So how often do you go back and forth?
I go back every quarter. I come back to New York every quarter and do about 6 weeks here.
And then?
And then I go back to Montenegro. And Montenegro is still in development. We're going to open in March 2016. And then I'm going to push into Dubai. So we're working on a franchise model.
Hold on, hold on, yeah, sister.
We're working a franchise.
Dubai?
I want to do Dubai. That's the military
kidding me.
Does
Dubai want to do you?
Yes, they do. Well,
that's very forward thinking.
We're creating an underground. So
but, I mean, who's coming in? I mean, Dubai is not the center of burqa world, but are you?
No, it's not. But it's the outer limits of burqa world. I got nothing better to do, Sandy.
But that's, I mean, was that an idea?
Saudis need tattoos.
There's a bumper sticker for you. But where did that come from?
I have a client who's a very good friend who has an apartment in Dubai. And he was always like, come to Dubai and bring your equipment. And I'm like, oh, I can never. They're going to chop my hands off. But and that was for like 6 years. That was all while I'm here. And it was always kind of back in my mind, like I would love to go in Dubai. And frankly, I just didn't even want to get my gear past customs. By the way, London will turn tattoo artists away and send you right back on the plane if you come through. Even flautists and anybody with any kind of equipment that can't, unless it's a white collar with a laptop computer, they'll turn your ass around. So it's not just something I want to risk flying to Dubai and be ejected. So it was always just kind of the back of my mind. I had plenty on my plate. So there I'm in Montenegro, and I'm making headway with the culture there. Not a big tattoo culture, not at all. They keep telling me about how they don't get tattooed and only gangsters and sailors. I'm like, Montenegrins, I have a crystal ball for you. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. So I had an acquaintance came through, and he's opening a bar there, and he has a bar in Dubai. And he's Australian and an expat. There's all, you know, all this kind of Wild West environment out here. And I was like, oh, Steve, I would love to work in Dubai, open and tattoo in Dubai. And he's like, well, come on out, darling. And I think that was more British, but
I got it.
You got it. So, and I said, oh, no, I could never, you know, with a
oh, please.
Sharia law.
Just as like Dudley Do Right. And Nell and Dudley. I couldn't.
She still springs up. But, he's like, listen, I've had this bar 10 years. We serve alcohol, and I have models everywhere throwing their hair around. There's no burqas, and we're drinking drinks. And it's hugely successful, and there's a market for you, and why don't you come out and do recon? So we're going to go out in October and see what happens. I already have a little bit of a plan in place where we're probably going to showcase the mastectomy tattoos, which would be a dubfecta, obviously.
Which is another part of your business.
So massive, yeah. So
does this mean that history is repeating itself in the sense that now you're going to Dubai and you're going underground, or no?
Yes. Because tattooing is that kind of culture where you have to, I mean, frankly, it's like gay culture or any other marginalized culture. We have to kind of make inroads where we can. And as long as there's a client base for it, we're going to have to serve their needs. So, and I'm the kind of personality that I need this challenge in my life right now. And as a feminist,
So you're going to be the first in Dubai, is my guess, right?
The first public. The first, like, legal. Because there's guys over there
now.
Oh,
so it isn't underground.
Yeah, there's some guys over there now. I hear by rumor. And my friend who, like, is sponsored by a prestigious tattoo supply company, they send supplies over there, but they market as art supplies. So I already have my network involved.
Got
it. All very, yeah.
So not so much that you're reinventing yourself, but life is just not dull for you.
I love it. I'm so grateful. And honestly, I think I'm just the kind of, again, personality, it takes a lot. It's a lot of isolation, you know. I got to do a lot of work alone. But I have the support of friends and loved ones. My family's super supportive. They're excited. And my dad's a fighter pilot. He's a Pentagon guy. My brother's a Top Gun. Like, we're those kind of people. My sister's a horror novelist. Yeah, we're freaks like that. You know, uh-huh. We just got to, like,
well, you followed your own passions.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're hoping also to do your own personal art.
Fine art. I keep hoping because I'm like, oh, okay. And I did one painting of this. I'm doing a series in Montenegro, and I'm really excited about. Probably next spring, I'll have some canvases ready to show. But my God, the tattooing thing is so hot right now. I feel like I gotta strike while the iron is hot, even if those aren't the works that are so durable over time. You know, once the art is done, it walks out the shop.
Got it.
Right. So there's a part of me that really wants to have canvases.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Friday Jones, body artist who has a salon in New York City and in Porto, Montenegro. So what about that part of your practice is post-operative tattoos?
I love those post-operative tattoos. That has really reinvigorated my whole attitude towards my craft. I have a good friend, Dr. Lerman, and he comes over to the salon. He gets his hair cut by one of my friends over there. And she's gorgeous. And she's like, you have to talk to Dr. Lerman. He does plastic surgery. And they need, and there's a tattooing involved. I'm like, oh, in what scenario? And she's like, well, they do nipples, miss.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow. And of course, I'm like everybody else, like, wow, that's a thing, huh? So then I talked to Dr. Lerman. And he says, yeah, we are given this kind of, they shove a machine in our hand and we have pigments, but frankly, we're not trained in this. And I would really appreciate it if you kind of took over this aspect for me. And I was like, sure. And then little Vinnie Myers came out in CNN and Washington Post with his nipple tattoos. I was a big fan of little Vinnie for years. He was like, oh, one of my heroes in the industry for years. And he's an amazing fine artist. And so now he's doing these nipple tattoos for women. So there was already a precedent there. So I said, sure enough, Dr. Lerman, he sent me clients. And now I work closely with him and another doctor, Dr. Schaefer. And so that was the nipple parts. Then I got approached by this wonderful organization, this charity called PINK.org. And they are the ones that really beat the drum on illustrative mastectomy, post-mastectomy tattoos. They've done some, and it was run by a former ad guy. They got massive funding and super talent behind them. And they really did, I think, like a white collar targeted, hey, gals. You got scars. You lost a big piece of your identity. Like let's go the whole other direction. And so P Inc. really started this whole, made it available for women to even think that they could get this option.
As opposed to hiding.
And these women have
you're
to
now
hide
you're kind
so
of almost
much.
Exalting.
Yes, you're exalting. It's so fun. It's so liberating. These women are topless now. They're taking off their tops on the beach, and they're just, and then the Free the Nipple campaign. I mean, we're really onto something big here. You know, I'm just so privileged to be a part of it.
Isn't that liberating?
Yes,
that
ma'am.
Is just
yes,
amazing.
Yes.
So tattoos are not going anywhere.
Nope. No, baby. They're just going. In fact, in Eastern Europe, we're former socialist area, it's all pure growth. So, the sky's the limit as we start to normalize as a planet and get more economically, together. Mm-hmm. It's just going to grow along. And it will. It will.
Where's the next untapped territory?
Probably, I would say, the Middle East.
The Middle East.
I mean, Japan, Asia's pretty good with it. Asia's very good with it. A huge, wonderful work coming out of there. And, of course, the West, all over Europe's nema problema, as we would say. I'd say probably the former Soviet countries and the Middle East. And the former Soviet countries only because this had limited exposure to it. And now the Middle East is just, we got some things.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Friday Jones, body artist and fabulous woman. So if I was your fairy godmother and I came up to you and said, do you need anything from me, Friday, or are you just fine?
I would say, fairy godmother, give me that 10,000 square foot space in the meatpacking district.
Which is a section of Manhattan. But why do you want that? You just said 25 hours a week, which isn't a lot, is a lot.
I'm coming back, Sandy. I had to do to Montenegro to get back to this mindset where I'm going to dig back into New York. But then it would be requiring taking my friend as an investor and a huge rent. But I want to expand. I'm at that age. I need to have a staff of young artists and share,
Right, because you're doing all the work for all intents.
Yeah, that's what it is. And honestly, I put it way off. I really enjoyed being this bon vivant kind of character. But now I got to be a boss. And that's what this is all about. That's what opening these shops are all about. And I wanted to open in New York, but frankly, I just couldn't take the city so much, and
the pressure, the intensity.
Yeah. And I'd already done 7 years of it. So I wanted to have this other life. Like, let me, slow it down. And
so are you a jet setter?
I am right now. It's pretty weird.
You never,
I'm down for it.
When you're looking back, did you ever imagine being in a place like this, or you just knew you would be somebody?
I tell you, Sandy, I came to LA in 1997 from Hawaii, and I was going to tattoo, and I tattooed at this famous guy's shop, and it was dead. And I had to take a waitressing job, and it was a real wake-up call because I enjoyed all this cash from, you know, working at these busy shops. And all of a sudden I'm in the saturated market and where it's really competitive and I'm a girl on top of it. So no one
But you're a different kind of female. And I wonder if that's what worked to your credit. You're out there. You're ballsy. You're, you know.
It's a slap and a tickle because at the same time, I'm in these guys' faces. And I'm like, really, dude, you got to say bitch one more time. You know, like I'm saying that in a shop with a bunch of guys, you know, and it's going to come back. But, okay, so here I am. I'm waitressing. I can't, you know, the prestigious tattoo job wasn't supporting me. So I'm and I didn't want to offend any of the masters in the region. So I took a waitressing job, you know, serving food. And I'm riding the bus and I'm seeing all these creative professionals in Hollywood, you know, having their lunches in the cafes and having, you know, wearing their suits. And this, and I think that.
Don't you
that
feel
point,
like Liza and. Never mind.
Yeah, it was one of those kind of scenes.
With your nose like, up against the glass.
Yeah, and I wanted that. And I was still young. I was still like, you know, I wasn't 30 yet. Mm-hmm. So then I started working Law of Attraction really deliberately. I discovered Louise Hay. And then.
I don't know these names.
Okay, so Law of Attraction is this philosophy of what we're thinking, what we think mostly in our minds, we start to manifest. So
put into action.
Mm-hmm. Well, life will start to lead up to this.
Okay.
So it'll be like, oh, wow, I'd really like to, you know, I want to paint something purple. And all of a sudden I'm surrounded by purple all day long, like that kind of thing. And just like, whatever, our minds are attuned to it. But frankly, I'm a Kantian. I believe that reality conforms to us rather than the opposite. So anyway, I started doing serious, which you would get in Los Angeles, a lot of these kind of creative metaphysical philosophies, if you will.
Uh-huh.
So I got into the work of Abraham Hicks and Louise Hay, and I started journaling and writing down what I wanted in the present context. And it was a long trajectory because once I started to manifest the stuff, then maybe it wasn't exactly what I anticipated. You know, I had a TV pilot, and the TV pilot was so insane and so intense and so horrifying that I was like, what the hell am I doing asking for a TV pilot? And then I came back and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make, when I write down this will, I will put in that the TV pilot is fun and invigorating with a bunch of supportive, wonderful people and, you know, that kind of thing. So I learned to fine tune what I wanted. Also, and Los Angeles taught me to ask for more than I think I can get.
And women have a hard time doing that.
Yes, of course. And it was, who was it? Who was Touched by an Angel? That was that gal, she had a practice and, you know, as a religious practice. And she's a wonderful speaker. And she would say, like, you know, y'all ask for a thimble. You need to be asking for a dump truck. And and I was 28 hearing that.
And you were feeling empowered.
Well
you were getting to feel
it. I'm in this little horrible, tiny East Hollywood apartment in my waitressing job. And I just started seeing, I was like, well, I'm going to ask for it. You know, I'm going to ask for this. I'm going to ask for that. And then I would get these things. And some of them were great. And some of them were a lot gnarly. And then the gnarly ones, I just started to readjust the vision. And it's taken me to this far. And now I just keep saying yes. And I keep saying yes.
Can you tell us who you've tattooed?
Yes,
in terms of bold face.
I can tell
face.
You a few. I can tell you.
Come
the
on, brag
that,
and impress me.
Yeah, let me see. So I have to say, I tattooed Lena Hall, who just won her Best Actress for Hedwig and The Angry Inch.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. You know, I'm a big fan of Lena. She's a good friend, and I work with her sister. And I also got to tattoo in the show of Chaplin at the Broadway theater at, which one was it?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. So I got to tattoo like backstage at a Broadway show. I've tattooed Angie Harmon, Lorraine Bracco.
Sure.
So two girls, Lorraine
Sopranos.
And Angie. And they're like gorgeous, you know, women who have a lot to lose being marked. And those women, you know, they got their little dainty white tattoos and that's a privilege. That's such a privilege. And let me see who else would.
What about guys?
You? Guys, I tattooed a lot of like heavy metal and rock and roll guys. I got to tour with Queens of the Stone Age, so Nick Oliveri from Queens, and that was really fun touring Europe with those guys. That kind of taught me, you know, I just mimicked rock stars or musicians when I like if I want to go someplace, I put my stuff in storage and start touring. So that was really enlightening. And tattooed like a lot of heavy metal guys you probably wouldn't know.
Probably
day,
not.
You know?
Now, what about this that I said in the introduction? Heads of state and big corporate types.
Those are the ones
types.
I can't talk about. Those guys.
But I bet there are some prizes.
Yeah,
huh?
those are under the suits. So that was like, you know, that's it. That's being on Fifth Avenue and being able to, those people want tattoos now. This generation's coming up
because there's such an intimacy with tattoos, isn't there? I mean, you really, and that's not even where the tattoo is necessarily located. They're at your mercy.
Yes, which is
very powerful.
It's super fun. Yeah, it's a lot. That's a fighter pilot kid in me. You know, we need this intense experience.
But think you'll ever write a book?
Yes, my sister's a writer, so I've got two screenplays. Yeah, I got a couple of screenplays, and I did in Montenegro that I'm working out, and things. I think it'll probably be like screenplay things right now. Mm-hmm. I think a book might be too.
You think that there should be a play about Friday Jones and your career?
My brother has a great concept where we're going to take this character and make her this pirate. This Creole pirate. My brother just got out of the Navy, and now he's super creative. So now this is really blossoming for him. So he's taking the charge on that. And I think we're going to start doing some kind of family group chapter writing and mm-hmm. then turn it maybe into a graphic novel. But that's
a great idea. Yeah, that would be
super fun, right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
And it's funny because my brother has this big male voice that he's kind of funneling through this female character. So he has her doing things that I would never do. And I'm pretty ballsy chick, but like, I'm like, oh, Rick, that's great. I would never think to take it like that. And, you know, it's
so where super fun. Are you not welcomed?
Where am I not welcome? I'm welcome everywhere. Like, even my frenemies, you know, we still got stuff to talk about. And
but what I mean about that too is, you know, we were talking before, referencing before, some places where they wouldn't want you to be.
You mean like as a culture?
Yes, as a culture.
Oh, sure. Well, Israel. Mm-hmm. Well, it was that way. And actually, Israel is a big lesson for me because the guy who taught me to tattoo is a strong Jewish man. My ethics professor was a strong Jewish woman. So I've been mentored by the Chosen mm-hmm. for my whole career. Mm-hmm. And I'm gratefully so. So I think that, and I wear it on the sleeve. Like, I love walking into, you know, Soho House as the only heavily tattooed, you know,
female
chick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love walking around Montenegro. Like, they don't know what to do. Their eyes popping out of their heads. Mm-hmm. And like, the old guys will go like, you know, a slut. And the old ladies will go, tuh, like spit in the water.
See, that's a great thing. Mm-hmm. This preconceived notion of the fact that somebody would look at you in a sleeveless dress or whatever and be so dismissive of you. Does that make you crazy or you don't give a damn?
I love it. I mean, I'm like that kind of confrontational personality. So I'm like, bring it. I mean, and I got a lot of it over the years. Just women were not heavily tattooed when I began. So it was a good 10 years of being the only heavily tattooed chick around in a lot of the states that I was living in. And
did that get to wear on you after a while? Stop staring, or maybe that's what you did want.
You ask for it too.
Yes, exactly.
You gotta be honest, and that's where my ethics professor and my mentors come in. Like, you're asking for this, so and like, my name's Friday. Like, come on, I gotta like.
What is your real first name?
I'm not gonna tell you.
Oh,
it's
boring.
It's Old Testament though.
Oh, okay.
It's biblical.
Hello, Sarah. Nice to meet you,
you're getting
Ruth.
Close. So yeah, I asked for it. So that was a lot of like taking the responsibility on, and then putting my head up and then wearing it proudly and being this, you know, even in my mind, this symbol of what of a creative woman or this individual woman or this lone woman, let's mm-hmm, just say it like mm-hmm. that. So
do you sometimes feel or did you sometimes feel like you were on a crusade?
Yeah.
And a pioneer?
Yeah, I'm a full-on crusader. I got that. You know, that's like an ego trip, but sometimes that's what saves me walking down, you know, my little marina mm-hmm. in Montenegro. Like, mm-hmm. if I could just say, like, hey, all of you beautiful, beautiful girls pushing your strollers and your men are coming on to me on Friday night because you're at home with your babies. Like, you don't have to make these choices. And this is what I love being an American woman, frankly, because we all have to stand up to that. We all, you know, you stood up to it and my grandmother stood up to it and I got mm-hmm. the vote. So somebody's got to do it over here. And I can be cute and smile and provide a great service to the population. And I'm a girl's girl, so I'm not going to threaten these women mm-hmm. with my behavior. So, you know, with like stuffing their boys at night. So mm-hmm. so I think it's a lot of it is standing on those integrity and ethics and saying, you know, you can have a creative life or you can have a career and you can make your own money and you can have a lot of fun.
You're finally gathering the respect from your male counterparts or whether you care or not. I mean,
I super care. Of course I care. Yeah, I, of course I care. And I spent so long, Sandy, in my career playing to them. And it was just always such a wall. And I never understood why I wasn't getting the respect. And I was like, why is it so easy for him to, you know, go along with my the other apprentice? My boss would take the other apprentice on a road tour and introduce him to all the masters up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And then that apprentice became huge. Mm. And it was so much cred and respect. And he couldn't take me because, frankly, it looked like I was blowing him, you know? And that's really what it comes down to. So The gal who does on Portlandia, she's such a genius.
Oh, yeah. What is her name?
So she had a quote that she's like, you know, you kind of have to make your own space. And I was writing this. It was only 6 months ago she said this quote, but that really spoke to me. And it's like, we kind of have to make our own space as women. And then I really started charging all of my little fangirls and any women that I have. I'm just like on fire to... I'm not focusing on the guys and trying to get that kind of approval so much. And it took a long time. I'm telling you, it took like 20 years for me to get to that point where like, I'm never going to get it. And then once I stopped caring, all of a sudden I'm like,
it's liberating.
Getting calls and I'm, mm-hmm. I'm also like, hey, you know.
So you've garnered the respect from your peers, yeah, your male peers?
And, like, and my father and all these other, you know, people who are just like, ah, you know, you freak, you know, you crazy girl, whatever you're going to do, go ahead and do it. As long as, you know, you're not coming to us. For money, hopefully, you know? And so, and he's, they're loving people, but it was just like, what the heck are you doing with your life?
Well, sure. I mean, there's a stereotype. Of course, someone's, you know, going to look at you and think that you are, like you said, sleeping with every guy in town.
Or whatever.
Or whatever. Do you teach?
I'm not teaching yet. In fact, I was really hard into trying to start a tattoo program at university 3 years ago. I was really, really, really into it. And FIT was open to the
Fashion
idea.
Fashion Institute of Technology.
Yes, which was a great place. One of the...
Well, that would make... Or Parsons School of Design here in New
I
York City.
I like Parsons. I'll tell you, I went to the FIT because they do the... They're super progressive with their programs. They did the first toy design program in the country, and it's also a public school, and I thought that resonated with the folk aspect of tattooing. So I was deep into that. I'm talking to the deans. I'm applying for my master's. I'm in the system and everything. And then the TV show came up, Tattoos After Dark, and all of a sudden I'm in Hollywood, and I had to put that in the back burner. And then kind of going back into Hollywood was going back into the trenches again of a street shop, you know, and a competitive street shop where there's like 16 shops on the block.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm like, man, all these kids are learning this from YouTube. You know, would I really be providing something vital and necessary? You know, or is this just kind
so
of...
So you almost would be superfluous, in
feel,
a sense.
I feel like, yeah, and yeah. And I'd love to see textbooks written and things, you know, but maybe they don't have to be in such a collegiate context. I think maybe, you know.
What do you see for your future?
I see big franchises. I'm going to franchise these. I have the street shop model and the tattoo couture, the kind of more upscale experiential model. So that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking areas that are growth areas, major growth areas, so you're not seeing tattoo shops very often.
Like?
We're talking Manhattan and Malibu.
Okay.
For the tattoo couture.
Right.
But first, we got to do Montenegro and Dubai. So we're talking
the
about
Dubai
that's
thing
five,
just completely blows
plan,
my so mind. I mean, I just.
I love it too. It's freaking me out. It freaks me out, but I can't wait. I'm going October. We'll go and do recon, and then we'll get the reality check because we have to make friends with a sheik. They have to back us. I'm reading a book on Sharia law, which is huge and thick and wonderful. And I just want to be as well prepared to make friends with as many cultural idioms as I need to.
You have to promise me that you'll come back once you descend on Dubai and take Dubai by storm. Before we say goodbye, I just had one fast question that I meant to ask. Is there a law you have to be a certain age in order to get it? Like you have to be 21 to drink.
And there's very good laws in place. They vary state to state.
Mm-hmm.
So in some states, you can be 16 with a parental approval.
Mm-hmm.
In some states, you just have to be 18, and that's the way it is.
As you look at your clientele, is there more women, men, age, what?
Gosh,
getting
I wish
grandmas
I could say,
in there?
Yeah, we got grandmas. We got Upper East Side grandmas. Yes, those ladies. They're fierce. They put me through it.
It's just really hard to kind of...
Because it's just such a broad swath, and that's the nature of the work is so individualized. So I'm getting referrals. So I have a client say, a fashion model, Lydia Hurst, is fantastic. You know, mm-hmm. she's gorgeous and tattooed, and she referred me to her brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
who's an entertainment lawyer. He's a big, strapping guy, and now I tattoo him, and he's come from a band of brothers. So that's how it segues. It's all word of mouth. I haven't had to advertise, frankly, since I had my publicist 7 years ago. So I've just been writing
off
of that.
It's all word
of
mouth. Yeah, word of mouth. Okay. You overwhelm me, but in such a positive way. It has been truly my pleasure to get to know you, Friday. I only wish you more continued success, and you're such a dynamite role model. You really, really are. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your life and your passions with me.
Thank you, Sandy, for the opportunity to talk to you, and thank you for the work you do, too.
Well, I just feel really honored. Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Everybody.